A political science expert at Illinois State University says it's too early to say whether Democrats will move to impeach President Trump over his request to have Ukraine investigate former vice president and current political rival Joe Biden. But assistant professor of politics and government Kerry Melita tells WGLT's Eric Stock, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's call for an impeachment inquiry takes the House Judiciary's soft-pedaling of impeachment to a new level.
There's actually been a formal inquiry already going on for a few weeks in one of the House committees, but when the Speaker of the House gets behind it, it's giving it the gravitas that it didn't have before. Now majority party leadership is on board with the inquiry.
Many seem to think that that initial inquiry that Jerry Nadler had been running was going nowhere. In fact, Adam Schiff at one point had said the only way Trump is going to be removed from office is going to be in the 2020 elections. But this seems to change that considerably.
I'm not sure for practical purposes, because remember, Trump hasn't been impeached yet. We're talking a lot as if the impeachment has already happened, but the impeachment vote is a couple of weeks away now. By having a formal inquiry, all that the House is saying is we're going to have a vote, yes or no, on impeachment in a few weeks. So that remains to be seen what's going to come from that. He's not been impeached yet, and if he does, then it has to go to the Senate. And they have to vote to convict, and that is incredibly unlikely to happen, save for numerous smoking guns emerging during the inquiry.
So what do you feel the end game is for the House Speaker to call for the impeachment process to continue? If it's to get Trump removed from office, as you said, that appears highly unlikely to happen. The Senate would not likely vote to remove him. Is it simply to damage his hopes of re-election next year?
Well, perhaps, but also if the House truly thinks that there is some impeachable offense that's been committed, then it's doing its constitutional job by holding an inquiry and investigating whether, you know, these charges, there's any merit to them, how deep do they go, what's the extent of the impeachable offenses, and then casting a vote yes or no whether to bring forth official charges. So you could make the argument the House is just doing its job.
Now, many Democrats in swing districts have largely avoided the word impeachment last year during the congressional campaign. Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan basically said, let's wait for the Mueller report, when running against Republican Congressman Ronnie Davis. And he had all but promised an impeachment inquiry if the Democrats won back the House, which they did. Do you expect those talking points from either side to change?
No, I think the list of potentially impeachable offenses kind of continues to grow. And that's not to say that any all of them are valid or will be held valid after the inquiry is done. But in theory, impeachable offenses, which come from the Constitution, should not be something that's political. It should not be something that changes based upon what mood the public or the media is in.
Some of the Republicans have been reluctant to respond to this new development, though some have been sort of circling the wagons. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, a McLean County native and has certainly been no fan of the president on a number of issues, has been fundraising off of this, saying that the crusade to impeach has never been about the facts. He says this is a push by the far left to remove a president because they lost the 2016 election. Now, Kinzinger is in a pretty safe Republican congressional district, but could that approach backfire if you look ahead to 2020 or take a longer historical view?
Absolutely. Traditionally, I mean, no president has ever been removed from office through the impeachment process. Presidents have been impeached before, most recently being President Clinton in the 1990s, which did not go over well for Republicans. There was some pretty major electoral backfire from that impeachment process. And it's possible that Democrats will see the same thing from this impeachment process. If anything, what the American public has kind of shown is that we don't like the idea that people are wasting time on things that are perceived to be insignificant or politicizing.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Kerry Melita, an assistant professor of politics and government at Illinois State University. It seems some of the sentiment toward the inquiry of impeachment is partly about the president's phone call to Ukraine, of course. That's the centerpiece of it. And also partly an accumulation of what his critics see as behavior unfitting for the Oval Office, factoring in the alleged obstruction included in the Mueller report, which, as you had indicated, there was already an ongoing impeachment process there. How much of that factors in, and will Democrats try to use this as sort of an aggravating condition to try to show a pattern of misbehavior?
I think with the not calling them smoking guns, because they're not smoking guns yet. It's potentially smoking guns that need to be investigated by the House. But I think we just hit a critical threshold where party leadership saw that enough was enough and that there might be some validity to some impeachable offenses have occurred, which is intentionally left vague by the Constitution as to what that constitutes. It doesn't have to mean criminal activity.
Well, this phone call that the president made to Ukraine's president, which he appears to be trying to persuade that country to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. Biden, of course, now one of the president's leading political opponents in the race for the White House next year. How explicit does that link have to be between the request for an investigation and the foreign aid that the U.S. has given Ukraine?
Well, I think the transcript's just been released. Party leadership, I don't think, has made a statement on it, had time to go through it. The whistleblower has not testified before the House yet, which all of which will happen. But it needs to be fairly explicit. This isn't something that could be that is ambiguous, right? You don't bring forth charges of what would essentially be blackmail. I'll give you aid in exchange for doing this political favor for me in an ambiguous sentiment. That has to be pretty explicit.
Looking at the report, which, as you said, has just been released, the president does indicate that the United States is a strong supporter of Ukraine, a strong financial supporter, far more than Europe is. And so that's out there. He mentions that Germany is of no help to Ukraine. And then later he references the call for the investigation. But as you said, I guess someone's going to have to determine whether that is explicit enough.
Yeah, it's going to depend on what's actually in the transcript, word for word, and ultimately what the whistleblower testifies.
Trump's own Department of Justice chose not to look into this. Should we make anything out of that, considering also they saw nothing in the Mueller report that caused alarm?
No, I'm not sure there's too much to read into that. If the president's administration doesn't believe that a crime or an impeachable offense was committed, I don't see why they would take the initiative and look into something and potentially muddy the water themselves.
This Ukraine situation is pretty messy, and it's not just for the president, for Joe Biden himself. He had tried to thwart a corruption investigation while his son, Hunter Biden, was serving on a board of a firm there. Ukraine has refuted the president's characterization of this. Do you expect that Biden's Democratic rivals to make an issue out of this?
I wouldn't be surprised at that. He is still technically one of the front runners in the Democratic race, and the front runner is all's fair. All's fair in politics when you're the front runner. So anything that can probably would be made an issue of, which would be rational behavior for his opponents.
And if he does get the Democratic nominee, how might this weigh on him in the general election?
In the sense that it might be old baggage that he carries forward, my understanding is that this issue's been investigated and it wasn't found that he had actually done anything criminal, anything wrong per se. But that's not to say that this type of baggage doesn't follow you in elections, that just because you officially didn't do anything wrong, that you don't have the scarlet A on you anyway.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with Carrie Melita, Illinois State University Assistant Professor of Politics and Government. This has to be a fascinating time to be teaching political science to students, right?
That's a nice word for it, yeah.
So do you feel students are generally fascinated by this? Are they intrigued? Are they annoyed? Are they overexposed to the political process by all this? Maybe all of the above?
Yeah, a lot of my students, 2016 was the first time they got to vote, which was definitely an unusual election in American politics. All of our modeling, our forecasting was wrong. A lot of our polling had errors in it, which led to many wrong predictions as to the outcome. And what's curious is a lot of them kind of have the fatigue that you see of of people that are much older, people that have been in the fight for a lot longer than they have. They've not been politically cognizant for very long, but they're already kind of showing signs of fatigue.
Does that fatigue then become cynicism, because we do seem to have an increasingly cynical American public?
I hope not. I hope that, you know, through the university environment, I hope that we can channel it into civic engagement, and that we can channel it into, if you're unhappy with the way things are, which people have always been unhappy with the way government is. I mean, we live in a representative democracy where we can change it. Things can change if we get involved.
Do you feel that this makes them more motivated then to pursue a career in politics, or maybe less so?
I think so. I've had a noticeable increase in students that are expressing what we call political ambition, which is just a general kind of expression of interest of, I might like to run for office someday. Nothing concrete or specific yet, but they're definitely, I think, inspired by some of the younger members that have been elected into Congress with a lot of reformist ideas. So I think that's a good thing. They're showing fatigue, but a lot of them are also showing a desire to get involved and change it.
That was Illinois State University Assistant Professor of Political Science Carrie Melita with WGLT's Eric Stock. Republican Congressman Darren LaHood says the transcript of the president's conversation with Ukraine shows no wrongdoing. GOP Congressman Rodney Davis posted on social media that impeachment is getting in the way of anything else.